That's right. It is time for Meet Me at the Diner, and today is a very special day as we have our candidates that were on the ballot calling in to thank their listeners, thank their voters, and we're going to have a good time talking about the future, too. So first up here today, I need to say a big congratulations to David Stumbo. He, of course, is now the solicitor of the Eighth Circuit. And how you doing today, David Stumbo?
Doing great, Ann. Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. So what do you have to say about this race in the end? You pulled it off, and you are now the solicitor. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to rolling up our sleeves and getting to work. We got a lot of work to do, and I know we have a lot of cases coming through that need to be prosecuted, and ready to get to work for the people here and prosecute crime and try to keep our families safe and do the best we can. So I'm really excited about it, and we're glad to have the campaigning part out of the way. That was a long, hard road, and really takes a lot out of you. You know, campaigning over a long period of time, but we really enjoyed meeting so many people out there, and just really had such a high level of support. And we're just humbled by that. So just ready to get to work.
Well, that sounds great. Now, just for the record, what do you think, David, is going to be your major focus when you first get in there? And does that actually start the 1st of January?
It's actually set by statute, and the changeover is January the 9th. It's the second Wednesday after the election, which this year is January the 9th. So that's the day I will officially take office, is the 9th of January.
And what is going to be your major focus as you first take office? Because I know there's a lot of different issues, but what's going to be your major focus first?
Well, my major focus first, Dan, is going to be violent crimes and murder cases. I know we have a backlog of some murder cases that I'd like to take a good look at and see if we can't get them to trial very quickly. And also child abuse cases is a major focus of mine, and it will continue to be through my tenure as solicitor, but I really would like to identify some of the worst child abuse cases we can find, particularly child sex abuse and pedophile cases, and really take a hard line on those and see if we can get those cases prepared and into court as quickly as possible. I think we need to do right by our children and protect them to the greatest degree possible. So that as far as violent crimes and child abuse cases are going to be our major focus, and taking the court time that we do have on the front end and making sure we get those cases called to trial quickly and efficiently and get strong results on those.
Absolutely. Well, and one other question, how do you bring together a staff here? Do you get that pre-getting ready for it, or does it all hit you at once, David?
Well, Ann, I think that's something that, fortunately we have a couple months between the election and the time I take office, and that's something we're going to be doing. I plan to meet with all the attorneys and staff members there that are currently with Solicitor Peace's office and have a conversation with them and kind of give them my vision for what I'd like to do there and hear from them on what their plans and their visions are, and I foresee that we'll have some pretty good continuity there. I think there's some good young attorneys in that office that are really ready to get after it and get in the courtroom and make a difference. And I'm looking forward to working with them. We may have a few new faces, but we'll have probably a mix of both. So I'm excited to try to see what our staff's going to look like. And here I have a couple months to put that together.
Well, that's what I was asking, because it would be hard to have to put together a staff and everything starting the 1st of January. So you'll be working on that from now till the 1st of the year.
That's correct, and I have talked with Solicitor Peace, and he's told me that he is absolutely fine with me meeting with his folks, after hours, and obviously not breaking up their work day and what they have to do for the next couple of months, but to meet with them and put our staff together, and he said he would assist me in any way we need to get the transition done smoothly for the people of the Eighth Circuit.
Well, that is terrific. Well, David Stumbo, congratulations again, and is there anything else you'd like to say to the listeners out here on WCRS?
Well, Ann, just a big thank you. We had so many supporters. Particularly, I want to say give a shout out here to law enforcement. Those guys were really behind me in this race from the beginning, and I think that showed in the results of both the primary and the general election. Is that law enforcement had looked at my background, they looked at my qualifications, they'd met with me, they talked with me. And I think that they're excited to work with me as the solicitor. And they told their friends and their family and their neighbors that. So a huge thank you to them. And obviously my family and my wife's family over in Lawrence County really worked hard in this campaign. And a lot of just so many friends. It would take me your entire show, and I think to go through the list of people I'd like to thank. But it's very humbling, and I'm excited to be able to serve the people here as the chief prosecutor, and just really looking forward to it.
Well, I'm glad this isn't like the Emmys where they pull out a list and just keep going on and on and on.
That's right. Yeah, I think we'd have to take up the rest of your show if I did that. So I'm going to refrain from doing that.
All right. Well, that sounds great. Well, we just wanted to. This is what we're going to be doing: hearing from all the candidates, winners and losers here, because everybody made a contribution. And Solicitor David Stumbo, congratulations, and we'll look forward to having you back on the show.
Absolutely, and thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
All righty, bye-bye. All right, so there you go. There is Solicitor David Stumbo right here on WCRS. You know, we've had to pre-record some of the messages because we have representatives and senators did have to go down to Columbia. So, without further ado, we are going to hear from Floyd Nicholson. Floyd called me earlier this afternoon, so let's hear what Floyd had to say. Let's see if I can pull him up. Here he is, Floyd Nicholson, Senator Floyd Nicholson, returning for a second term down there to Columbia. He is, of course, Senator from District 10.
All right. Well, I have Senator Floyd Nicholson with us. He's going back for another term down there to Columbia. In fact, I have him here on the line. I think you must be down in Columbia, aren't you?
Yes, I'm down for judicial screening for the next 3 days, Ann. I came down early this morning. We'll wrap it up tomorrow. I came down Tuesday also. So already busy at work.
Already busy at work. Well, that's a good thing. So what happened? What do you feel about being reelected, Floyd?
First, I just want to thank the people for their support and reelected me and sending me back to Columbia for 4 years. And like I always pledge to work for all of the citizens of our community to try to make strides in improving the quality of life for everybody in our district and in the state.
Absolutely. Now, Floyd, you know, what's going to be, there's a lot of issues down there in Columbia. What do you see as some of the biggies that you all are going to have to undertake this year?
Well, like always, I think one of the things going to be is clearing up the information about people being on the ballot, make sure that everybody have to fill out the same paperwork, filed the same way to be on the ballot, to eliminate the confusion that was caused in this last election. I think that's going to be one of the top items on the agenda for clarification there. And like always, you know, looking at economic development, what we could do to create jobs for the citizens in our state, and also health care, you know, what way we're going to do, especially dealing with Medicaid funding and things of that nature.
Well, that's right, and Obamacare kicks in big time next year.
Yes, because I know I have to come down to a medical affairs meeting, I think, on the 28th, where Tony Keck is going to be talking to us about the Medicaid program here in our state.
Absolutely. So lots of issues out there, none the smaller than the Department of Revenues and hacking down there.
Oh, yes, that's going to be one of the main issues, you know, that big controversy that just occurred, you know, a few weeks ago and everything, and what we can do to implement a system where that would not happen again, because that's a major issue.
Absolutely. Well, Floyd, I want to offer you congratulations on going back down there to Columbia, and certainly know that we'll be talking to you in the next year. And, of course, next week is Thanksgiving.
Yes, a very special time. I love and enjoy spending time with family, you know, and just being thankful for the many blessings that we are able to enjoy here in our community, and especially with my family, Ann. And I just want to wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving and just commend you on the great job you do in the community here for everything that you and your radio station and your business do here in our community.
Well, thank you so much, Floyd, and we appreciate all that you do out there and looking forward to seeing how we can handle everything, all the problems, and turn them into something good, right?
Right, and the only way we can do it is by working together. It's give and take, and I know we're going to be successful in doing it, Ann.
All right. Thanks so much, Floyd. Congratulations again.
Thank you, Ann, and have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Floyd Nicholson right here, actually down in Columbia when I talked to him. Right now, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Yes, I am Ann Eller. Yes, we're doing words from our candidates. That's right. Some went on and became successful, and some didn't. But they all have something to say, and we're looking forward to talking to the majority of them right here on WCRS. Right now, outside, 53 degrees and cloudy skies, folks. They say it feels like 53. I think it feels a little colder. Tonight, the sun will set at 5:25. Notice how that time is just clicking back. And what are we looking for tonight in the weather? Considerable cloudiness with occasional rain showers, low of 39 degrees. May have a little wind, 5 to 10 miles per hour, and chance of rain is 60%. Tomorrow, a few showers early with overcast skies later in the day with a high of 51, and chance of rain is 30%. And tomorrow night, a few clouds from time to time with a low of 36. So there you go, folks. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here with you, live from Sharp Facets Gallery, where we're getting ready for a really big celebration. That's right. I want everybody to know. We went down to the Veterans Center a couple of weeks ago and was trying to figure out how we could help the Veterans Center with a fundraiser and be doing something fun here at Sharp Facets Gallery. And I happened to be down there, and I said, you know, there's no music. There's no sound. So we're going to help them get a nice sound system in the Veterans Center on the first floor. So when they're having events, they'll be able to have a music source. And when it's just the Indians there working hard and when veterans come in, guess what? There'll be some nice background music down there. So that's what I want you to help us do. Now, this is what I call it's painless giving, because anything you sell to us during Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, a percentage of it will go to the Veterans Center. And anything you buy from us at these bare-bones pricing, we will give a percentage to the Veterans Center. Now, you might say, well, you're taking it out of my pocket. Well, no, I'm not. I'm giving you the full donation, the full amount of money that you should get for whatever you bring us. And I'm also selling to you at the rock-bottomest, bare-bonest price I can. So that's how this works. It's going to be a lot of fun. Saturday is the main day, but anything you bring in Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, a percentage, like I said, will go to the Veterans Center to help raise funds for this sound system. Anything you buy from us Thursday, Friday, Saturday, even if you put it on layaway, we're still going to do that. We will still be giving the a percentage to the Veterans Center. So does it cost you anything? No, it doesn't. Nothing comes out of your pocket for this, but you get the joy of knowing that you helped and were part of this. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here. What are we doing on Saturday? Well, we've got all kinds of good food. We're going to start out the day with some ham biscuits, and, of course, we'll be doing From Trash to Treasures along a country road. We'll be doing door prizes right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. You can come by and register Thursday, Friday, or Saturday.
You do not have to be present to win. We're putting those door prizes together, so it's really going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, great treats from dog bones, that is, human dog bones, to all kinds of great treats and kibbles and bits. We've got it all put together, and we've even got the doghouse here because we really want to keep you out of the doghouse this holiday season. So why not come see us, get the rock bottomist deal, help the veterans too, save yourself, and you can even get your picture taken with the doghouse. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here with you on WCRS. Right now, I think we should go ahead and play a pre-recorded message from Shannon Riley. That's right. Shannon Riley, of course, is gone to State House District 13. He was victorious. I think it was like 79% of the vote went for Shannon Riley, or maybe it was 69. It was a good percentage, though. Shannon did very well out there. I know he's looking forward to telling you how much he appreciates all of the votes that he got. So here is our pre-recorded conversation with Shannon Riley, state representative from District 13 now. Well, Shannon Riley is on the phone with us here today. Is calling in to talk to us about his recent victory. He'll be going down to the House, House District 13.
That's correct.
That's right. House District 13. Congratulations, Shannon Riley. How does it feel to have won the seat?
Well, thank you, Ann. It's exciting, and of course, I was very pleased with the outcome and the results, and I just look forward to going down to Columbia and representing Greenwood and serving constituents here.
Absolutely. Now, I know that it took a team effort to put that all together.
That's right. It did. I've had so much outpouring of support from lots of friends and family and other new friends and family and constituents throughout the district and the county, and I've just been very blessed and fortunate, and I'm thankful for that.
Absolutely. Now, you actually, the new term doesn't start till January, but I understand you're headed down to Columbia this afternoon?
I'm going down this afternoon, yes, and to try to get ready for some things down there, and
did they send you to school down there?
Actually, in a couple of weeks, we have freshman orientation for 2 days there, so that's when that will officially begin, and then reorganization happens the week after that. I think things will start to move pretty quickly at that point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what do you think, just real quick, what is going to be one of your priorities when you go down there?
Well, my first priority has been and is going to continue to be to get out and listen to as many folks as I can here at home. I think it's really important to stay in touch with the people at home, to remember that I will be representing them and their interest in Columbia. So my first priority is to get out and meet people and listen, and I've continued to do that as I'm out taking down signs and stop by and visit folks and listen to what their concerns are, because I think that's the most important. As far as when I get there, you know, my biggest concern is, first and foremost, that we get this ballot debacle issue straightened out. There's no reason that it should be hard for new candidates to file for office to be able to be candidates. I think we should make it, as I've mentioned before, I think we should make it easy for them to do so. So I think whatever I can do to help aid in that with the upcoming session here regarding that ballot debacle, I'd like to see that get straightened out first and foremost so that we can make it easy for folks to run for office.
Absolutely. So, and of course, there's going to be a lot of budget issues, and it looks like there's no question that Obamacare will be coming on board here the first of the year. We also have sequestration and all these issues, and sequestration, as far as the military, would also affect South Carolina quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. And I tell you, that's one of the concerns I have too, Ann, is, you know, it's going to be a challenge. Obviously, I've never been down there, but I know it's going to be a challenge from my personal experience, obviously, in my business and in my personal finances, that we do have a limited revenue stream. And obviously, we have a lot of need in a lot of areas, military being one of those, lots of others, too. And we're going to have a limited revenue stream, and I think that's a challenge that we're all going to face is, you know, using those limited resources to pay for mandates.
Well, that's true, and particularly when you look at Obamacare, and I know the governor is kind of leaning towards not taking it, and
And that'll, of course, create our own stresses right here. And not only that, you've got the Department of Revenue, the hacking that is costing the state, of course, quite a bit, too. So
that's right.
You will have a lot on your plate, Shannon Riley.
For sure, but I'm ready for the challenge, and I just appreciate the folks in Greenwood that have entrusted me and voted for me to go down and represent them and to face the challenge. And I'm going to do my best to not let them down.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we appreciate you calling in here this morning. We're going to play this afternoon, but we appreciate you calling in. Again, congratulations, Shannon Riley. House District number 13 seat is yours. Now you'll have to see what you can do with it.
Thank you so much, Ann. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
All right. We'll look forward to talking to you again, Shannon.
Great. Thanks, Ann. Talk to you soon.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's Shannon Riley right here with us on WCRS. that's right, and that was a good conversation with Shannon Riley. Right now it is time for South Carolina news and a word from our sponsors. So please, don't go away. Stay right with us. We'll be right back.
For the individual engrossed in McDonald's new Deluxe Angus Third Pounder, the world simply ceases to exist. You savor each bite of thick, juicy 100% Angus beef, topped with crisp red onions and crinkle-cut pickles, oblivious to the fact that the pantsuit you borrowed from your roommate has become a full-body napkin for your fanatical feasting frenzy. Angus Axiom Number 5, ignorance is bliss, or in this case, vice versa. Get lost in one of three new Angus Third Pounders, only at participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, happy days are here again. We have the happy sheriff here, happy sheriff's associate here. We have Sonny Cox. He is our new coroner here. How you doing today, Sonny Cox?
I'm doing great, Ann. Thank you.
Are you being happy out there?
I'm being happy.
You're being happy? Okay. You got a new job coming up the first of the year.
I do, and I'm looking forward to it.
And what would you like to say to all our listeners and the voters out there?
Well, I just want to thank everyone for their support in my bid for the Greenwood County Coroner's Office. I am honored to have been chosen to serve the citizens of Greenwood County in this role. I'm looking forward to continuing to serve all of the citizens with a strong work ethic based upon the ideals of professionalism, integrity, and compassion. I ask for you to continue to support as I begin serving in my new role. I welcome the new challenges and look forward to working with the staff at the coroner's office to enhance our service for the citizens.
That sounds great, Sonny. What are you looking for? What are some of the things that you think need to change up, or have you looked at that yet?
Well, I've looked at it somewhat, and my goal is to get active and within the community and let everybody be aware of the role of the coroner. And if we can be proactive for saving lives, we want to do that as well.
Absolutely. So you're ready to accept the challenge? Yes.
I am ready to accept the challenge, Ann.
And are you glad the campaign is over?
I am certainly glad it's over.
That's been the major opinion of a lot of people that were in politics. They didn't have any idea what they were in for when they started down this road.
No, and I didn't know. And I'm just glad it's over. I'm glad of the results. And I would like to take a moment to thank all the citizens for participating in the election process. Voters' participation is catalyst for improvement and change. I would ask that we remember that the election process is each citizen's opportunity to make their voice heard concerning the direction in which they would like to see a local government grow and best serve all.
Absolutely. Well, Sonny Cox, I know you're going to have to come on the air with us sometime after the first of the year and tell us what you're, after you've assessed things and what do you think the things that need to be changed and that you're going to work on. I know you got a workload full as you get ready. Now, what are your plans between now and the end of the year?
Well, I'm going to work throughout the month of November here at the Greenwood County Sheriff's Office. And then I plan to take a lot of vacation in December and hope for a smooth transition to the coroner's office.
Because once you get in there in January, you'll never have a vacation again.
You're exactly right.
Well, Sonny, thanks so much for calling us this afternoon. We'll look forward after you get into the office and seeing what changes and
how we can get the word out.
Sure, and thanks for having me, and I hope to be with you again soon.
All right, sounds good, Sonny.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right, that is Sonny Cox. He is the new coroner right here in Greenwood. He will be taking office, I do believe it is January 9th, so we'll look forward to seeing what changes and what comes about with our new coroner, and that, of course, is Sonny Cox right here in Greenwood. Hey, you know what? I'm Ann Eller, and I am right here with you. I did have a Chuck Moats was on his way out of town, so he wasn't going to be able to call in this afternoon, but he goes, Ann, I really want to call in, so we did a call-in pre-record with him. And now, right here, here is Chuck Moats and Eller having a conversation this morning while he was on the road. All right, Chuck Moats, how are you doing today? Congratulations on winning District 4 County Council seat, going back again.
Thank you very much, Ann. I'm doing better than I deserved and more than I hoped for. I'm doing real well. Sincerely to all the voters in the district, in the 4th District, who supported me. And also I want to say thank you to my campaign committee. Actually, those wonderful people worked very hard in this campaign. They made phone calls, handed out brochures, stood on the street corners. And I can't say enough about how wonderful they have been and they were for this campaign. And they're just the dearest of friends. I want to thank them very much for their help. Couldn't have done it without them.
Absolutely.
The future of county council, we have a new county manager. I believe he starts today. I think he's going to bring some good insight, energy, and leadership to our county, and I'm looking forward to working with him. And I think with his energetic spirit and his desire to get some things done, we're going to see the county start moving forward even more rapidly than we have been.
And in the spirit of everybody working together, we've got some new people on council. What do you see about the future of change in the council?
Well, you know, change is inevitable. We live in a world of constant change. So the new men coming onto the council, I'm sure they're going to bring their own gifts and abilities. And we will just have to mix it together so that we're all on one accord and that we're all moving toward the same purpose, and that is make Greenwood County a better place to live.
Absolutely. Now, any particular things that you have on the agenda that you would like to see move forward during this next session?
Well, yes. As I said, I think in my interview with you, I'd love to see us move forward with the Civic Center property. We've been sitting on it for several years now, and it's time for us to start moving forward with it. Let's have a plan. Let's do something with it. Let's make it a productive piece of property again.
Absolutely. And, of course, I understand you're on the way out of town here, going to see your dad?
Yeah, I'm going to see my dad. He lives in Ringo, Georgia, which I found out was near Ree's hometown of Dalton, Georgia. So I'm going to be over there and visit with him, see how he's doing.
Absolutely. And, of course, Thanksgiving is actually a week from tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am, it is. And I hope everyone will take pause to consider what they have, the blessings that have been given to them, and express gratitude to God, and certainly express gratitude to other people in their lives that make their life richer.
Absolutely. Well, County Council District 4, Chuck Moats, congratulations again on winning, and thanks so much for calling us. We'll be airing this afternoon in the 4 to 5 hours. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Anna. And let me say thank you for providing this venue to the public where you give opportunity for folks to comment on public affairs and to render their opinions. I think that's a great public service, and frankly, we don't say thank you for what you do for our community enough. And I just wanted to go on record saying we appreciate what you do.
Thank you so much, Chuck Moats. Have a safe trip, and we'll be talking to you real soon.
We will. Take care. God bless.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So there you go. There is County Council Seat 4, District 4, Chuck Moats, right here with us this afternoon. He was here in voice, even though he wasn't here in studio.
But you know what? We've got more people calling in this afternoon. Jennings McAbee will be joining us, Marcia Kelly Clark. Bob Merritt is calling right after the top of the hour, and then we're going to have Ben Sheely stopping by right here in studio. So we've got a full-packed hour here just for you. I certainly hope you're going to stay right with us and hear what everybody else has to say. I hope you're enjoying the show this afternoon. By the way, I did want to tell you price of gold is staying pretty steady, and that's a good thing because there have been some big sell-offs. And still the price of gold is staying steady. So let's just give a check here real quick. Right here on our website. Where is it? Where is the price of gold? Here it is. Gold right now, $1,725.90. It's actually up a dollar today. Silver is at $3,258. And silver is at, platinum is at $1,584. So great prices. If you're in the market to sell, there's only one place to come. That's Sharp Facets Gallery right here on the 72 bypass. Why do I say that? Well, it's very simple, because I buy your piece of jewelry as jewelry, not as scrap gold. And when you think about it, that piece of jewelry has diamonds or gold and colored stones and everything. You bought it as a complete piece. Why not sell it as a complete piece of jewelry right here at Sharp Facets? Just because you don't need it or don't like it doesn't mean you have to take scrap value for it. So come see us right here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. Got a question for them at Sharp Facets? We'll give them a call, 229-6276. That's 229-6276. Let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Wednesday, happy day. This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
That's right. We're right back here. I'm here at Sharp Facets Gallery, right here in my studio in the back, and I do believe I have Jennings McAbee on the line with us. How you doing today, Jennings?
I'm doing great, Ann. And you?
Very good. Very good. I know we talked when you were in studio with us that you'd be glad when the campaign was over. How you feeling now?
Oh, I'm feeling great. You know, we got enough votes that even though we didn't win the election, I feel like it's a win. When you get that many votes, and I think it was around 17,000, I hadn't gotten all the totals in as yet, but, you know, that shows that we had a good platform. That shows we presented ourselves well, and, you know, had it not been for several other factors involved in the election this time, you know, it may have been a different story, but that's the way elections go, and you have to accept that, just like you have to accept everything in life and move on.
Absolutely. I know that you you sure appreciate all your voters that did vote for you and all the time and effort that people put into your campaign.
Oh, I'm most grateful for all of that, the support and voters that made that special effort, you know, to come out and help finance my campaign in so many ways. It's a blessing. And, you know, I met so many people that I had never met before that were, you know, offering to help and got input from those people. And that's a good thing about a campaign is, you know, you get ideas of what people want rather than, you know, what the individual wants that's offering for office, but it was a great experience, and I don't regret anything, you know, anything about it at all.
Well, one thing for sure, I don't think you can go incognito anywhere, Jennings.
No, that's probably true. We tried a little bit of everything, but, you know, at first we didn't really have enough revenues to run a full-fledged campaign. But as the campaign, you know, wore on, revenues started coming in, and we were able to, you know, show a different side, you know, a different story to people. And I think it paid off.
Well, I think you're right. Now, as everything goes forward, is there anything you'd like to see down there in Colombia?
Well, sure. I mean, there are a lot of issues that I was using on my campaign, you know, like stop the deficit financing and, you know, the Constitution provides that they're not supposed to do that, but in several cases they were doing some of that in the years past, and I don't want to see South Carolina lose its AAA credit rating, because that really has an effect on people, and when people borrow money, South Carolina's credit follows them as well. I'd like to see the freedom of information strengthened, ethics strengthened, and neither of those have been really hit as far as any serious legislation in years gone by. Also, there was one other issue I was thinking about along those lines that I would, campaign finance reform, and you know, something's got to be done about that. It when you get just a set of people that send money for, you know, for one purpose, and they expect something in return. I tell all my contributors, you know, all the way through the campaign, now, I'm going to do what's in the best interest of everyone, you know, when I get there. And I thank you for the contribution, but it has no strings attached to it. But, you know, it gets out of hand, you know, when you get thousands and thousands of dollars from special interest group when people should come first. And I think we got to set term limits, too.
Sure.
You know, there hadn't been much discussion about that. And I know the argument on the other side is, you know, when you have an election every 2 or 4 years, the people have the right to change. But you need to get new blood into the system and new ideas every once in a while. You know,
sure.
Incumbency is hard to overcome. For a lot of people that deserve the opportunity to serve and bring fresh, new ideas to the process. And it's hard to really win a campaign against an incumbent. I think you can see that
when
you look at our national Senate. I think just one out of 22 lost his race, and that's because of big money, you know.
Absolutely.
So, at any rate, you know, now that I've gotten at least all my big signs up and all I could find of my little ones, you know, I'm going to relax a few days and then look for other opportunities or other avenues to spend some time doing worthwhile things and civic causes.
I think that sounds great. Well, Jennings, you keep us informed about what you're doing, and I certainly do appreciate the fact, and I know a lot of people do, that you put your name in the hat and you went out there and you ran the race, and, you know, that the voters spoke.
Yes, I did.
Thanks so much for calling us, Jennings.
Thank you, Ann.
All righty. Bye-bye. All right. That's Jennings Maccabee that was on the air with us here just now. He, of course, was up for State House District 10. He did not win, but he did put a good effort onto it, and maybe brought some ideas to the table that others will take up. And, of course, that's what it's all about. And right now, I do believe I have Marcia Kelly Clark on the air with us. Marcia Kelly Clark, of course, is the current deputy coroner. How you doing today, Marcia?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Very good. Did you take a few days and get away?
Yeah, we went to Florida to visit some family.
Well, that's
a good trip. Nice and warm there.
Nice and warm, and was the sun shining?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Well, that sounds good. And I know you did a valiant effort as a write-in candidate, and it was tough, wasn't it, Marcia?
It was very tough. I knew it was going to be tough, but, you know, I've worked 12 years towards that, and I just couldn't stop. I had to give it my all, so, but I did.
Absolutely, you did, and I know you want to thank all your supporters and all those that voted for you because I know they knew that you were well qualified for the job.
I believe, you know, when you get over 4,000 people to take the time and write your name in, I believe it's obvious that, you know, I am experienced in it. And, you know, of course, you know, it's been a little devastating of what happened. Like I said, I have worked towards it for 12 years. And, you know, if I really think being the write-in had a lot to do with it. I think things would have been a little different had I been on the ballot, but live and learn. You know, it's just got to take it one day at a time. It's hard, but it'll work.
I know it has, but I know that you really, I know that all your, and your people that worked on your campaign. And
I thank them enough. I mean, the people that were behind me and supported me and got out there and did things for me, I mean, it was just overwhelming the amount of support that I had and still have. I mean, I'm still having emails and text messages today. I mean, it's just, it's been overwhelming, and I can't thank them enough.
I know. And we sure know that you were down to a nub on the day of the election. You were tired.
I was wore out. I think that was it. About 10 after 7, I laid across the bed, and the next thing I knew, it was middle of the night, and I was just exhausted. I'd finally just give out.
I understand. Well, you've been a very good deputy coroner, and I know something else will come down the pike, and you will be a success again.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate your compliment. That's really nice. Thank you, and I appreciate everybody that helped and supported me.
Absolutely, Marcia. Is there anything else you'd like to say to our listeners out there?
I don't guess. Anything else you have to ask?
Well, I think we'll save that for another day because we'll have you back on the radio. How about
all right,
that?
Thanks, Ann. Have a good day.
All right. You too, Marcia. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Marcia Kelly Clark. She did have a tough road with a write-in candidacy. It's always very tough. She has been the deputy coroner. Of course, earlier we talked to Sonny Cox. He, of course, was a petition and a Republican candidate, and he, of course, was victorious. But I do need to say that Marcia Kelly Clark, as a write-in to get, I think it was 21% of the vote, that was a pretty awesome on her part to garner that much of the vote. So I know it's her heart, and I know it's going to be tough, but she will move on, and she will survive. So, Marcia Kelly Clark, we do wish you well. Hey, I am Ann Eller right here with you on WCRS. In case you haven't heard, we're having a celebration here Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's called an open house, folks. That's right. Big day is Saturday. That's the main day. But we're raising funds for a sound system for the Veterans Center. Now, I am looking for all ideas, all possibilities to make this work. Do I have this all worked out? No, I don't. But I know that if we all work together, we can put together a fantastic sound system for them down there. So whether they're having an event or whether it's just while a veteran's waiting, that there's good music in the background, just making it a little easier to go ask those questions and find out the answers to the things they want to know. That's right, a sound system for the upstairs of the Veterans Center. Hey, you know what? I'm Ann Eller. It's time for the news. When we come back, we've got a couple more guests coming on, so don't you go away. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. We'll be back after the news.
For the individual engrossed in McDonald's new Deluxe Angus Third Pounder, the world simply ceases to exist. You savor each bite of thick, juicy 100% Angus beef, topped with crisp red onions and crinkle-cut pickles, oblivious to the fact that the pantsuit you borrowed from your roommate has become a full-body napkin for your fanatical feasting frenzy. Angus Axiom Number 5, ignorance is bliss, or in this case, vice versa. Get lost in one of three new Angus Third Pounders, only at participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Friday, happy days. Oh, that's right. We're right.
Floyd here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Yes, I'm Ann Eller, live in my studio over here. Some gray skies getting ready for the sun to set, although we didn't see it much today. Gosh, I think we're looking at sunset supposedly 5:25 today, but you couldn't tell it by me. It's pretty gray out there. But I'll bet I have a smiling, bald-headed person on the air with us. Bob Merritt, how you doing today?
Doing very good, and doing very well.
Doing very well. Well, it certainly is good to have you on the air. You, of course, were running for State House seat number 13, and I know you weren't victorious, but it certainly was an experience, wasn't it?
Definitely an experience.
So what do you have to say to the voters and listeners out there?
Well, I just appreciate going around and the from being on the ticket, off the ticket, to a petition candidate. I've watched a metamorphosis of my own self from a party person to a independent voter. I kind of sat back and realized that we're all in this together, and I had support from Democrats, Republicans, and some independents, and I think the one message is we've all got to start working together and put the country before the party. And I just appreciate all the hard work that was put in. I'm sorry we fell short, but I think it was worth it.
Absolutely, and I think it makes people think about things, if nothing else, doesn't it, Bob?
It definitely does. I never declared my independence and from any party, and I'll tell you what, Ann, it feels good to be an independent.
So does that mean you're going to stay an independent there, Bob Merritt?
I'm going to stay independent. I work with Republicans, Democrats, anybody that has the best interests of our community, our county, our state, our nation. If they have their best interests at heart, then I'll be glad, more than glad, to work with them any way we can.
Absolutely. As we go forth here, and I know there's a lot of issues facing the state, are there some that resonated with the voters that you talk to a lot that you think are going to be things they're going to have to take up or they should take up?
Right. Well, I believe that the attention this coming session will be turned toward the public education. I believe that the some of the silence, we never received definitive answers from some of the candidates on exactly what their stands are on private school vouchers or tax credits for homeschoolers. Also, we've got the we've got the issue of what are we going to do with the medical care? How are we going to approach the federal government with their unfunded mandates? And sometimes with their mandates, there's a movement out there now that appears to say that we need to exercise the 10th Amendment to the Constitution. It's an important amendment that says states' rights. The state has a right to nullify an unconstitutional act of the United States government, and maybe it's time that we started using our Constitution for the purpose it was given us.
Well, I don't know if you know about this, Bob, but there's several states out there, particularly Texas, that's talking about seceding from the Union.
And I'll be honest with you, probably a month ago, 2 months ago even,
uh-huh,
I would have dismissed those people as
nutcases.
But during this campaign, one thing that I came to realize is that the political parties, both parties, will marginalize anyone who thinks different from their philosophy. And I believe it's been proven with some of the movements, independent party movements. I think with Ron Paul, I think that he was marginalized as out of touch and unrealistic, but he was bringing some real issues to the table that should have been discussed. And I'm not saying that, now don't say I'm a secessionist, because I am not. I do believe that we need to work within the Constitution, and we can resolve all of our issues. But I can understand the frustration of people when they say, feel like I do, that our government, my government, has been hijacked by the Democrat Party and the Republican Party for their philosophy and for their purposes. I resent that. And I believe that we're going to have a strong independent movement in this country that's going to bring us back and take our government back from political parties that use it for their purposes and really restores it to the people.
Well, I think you're right. And I think the problem is that those that stand up don't ever seem to make it to second or third base, do they?
They do not, and that's where I get back to being marginalized. They You know, Ron Paul, I did not agree with everything that Ron Paul had to say, but I thought that he brought issues to the table that was refreshing that we have to start discussing. You know, he was talking about a constitutional convention. Now we have people actually talking about a constitutional convention. No one understands what a constitutional convention will wrought. It's always been my understanding that a constitutional convention is you can't call a constitutional convention and restrict them to one purpose. It's been my understanding that if a constitutional convention is actually convened, then they have free rein to do what they feel is right and proper, and they have the support to do.
Hmm. Well, that could be interesting.
Very interesting, and that's but I believe going back to the fact that I believe that there's a large segment of our electorate that feels that they're being frozen out of the process, and if you're not a member of a party, then you are you're really immaterial. You have no input, and I pray that we'll get back to those, you know, get back to what the founding fathers felt, that the people. The government belongs to the people first, not a political party.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I know you enjoyed the conversation that we had with the Lander students here in the studio last week when we had the round table. You know, they brought a different perspective, didn't they, Bob?
Oh, they actually that made me feel a lot better about our situation. They're very insightful, and we criticize young people for not having the knowledge or not taking the time to follow politics and what is important. I thought that was one of your best shows, and I thought it was one of the best shows. I think the way you moderated it, you moved them to answer some questions and address some issues that needed to be addressed, and it was refreshing to see their perspective on the issues.
Yeah, I'd like to get all of them together 10 years from now and see how they feel about things.
Oh, I would too. I would too. And I hope in 10 years the country's turned itself around, and we haven't, quote, fallen off this physical cliff that we keep hearing about, and we actually get back to putting the country first and, like I said, putting a party second.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Bob Merritt, I know that you've got classes to teach and things to do, but I certainly appreciate you calling in, and I really appreciate the fact you put your name in the hat and worked hard, even though you came up short.
Well, it was an experience. I would recommend it to anybody that feels they can, you know, they want to try to make a difference. And you know, I appreciate what your show does. I appreciate talk radio now more than ever. I think the issues that y'all discuss need to be discussed, and I applaud y'all for taking a stand on the issues and bringing in the candidates of different views so they could be heard.
Well, thank you very much, Bob Merritt, and God bless. And I know we'll be seeing you soon here at Sharp Facets Gallery.
You certainly will. Y'all are some of my favorite people. I thoroughly enjoy you.
Thank you very much, Bob Merritt. Hey, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsor, and we'll be right back. Happy days, Tuesday, Wednesday. Gold
dust at my feet on the sunny side of... This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6276.
Right here, sitting across the table, was able to come right in here to the studio this afternoon. Ben Sheely from down there in Newberry. He, of course, was running for solicitor, and it was a tough race, wasn't it, Ben?
It was, but it was fun. It was enjoyable to get out there and meet all the people in the four counties and talk to people that I generally wouldn't, you know, be out in the little, I don't say nooks and crannies of the counties, but it was fun to do that.
Are you glad the campaign's over?
I am.
Is your wife glad the campaign's over?
She definitely is. She definitely is. I think there's a lot of people that are glad the campaign is over. A lot of people laughed because, you know, once it became apparent that David was going to win the election, I went home and went to bed. And they were saying, well, where's Ben? He says, it's in bed. I said, well, you know, there's no chance of me winning, so why not go to bed? I ain't tired. So, you know, I slept very well that night.
So what do you have to say to the voters out there that supported you and were positive for you? And what do you have to say?
Well, I first of all, I just want to say thanks. It was a great experience meeting a lot of the voters, meeting all the people, like I say, each of the counties in areas that I normally wouldn't in my daily activities, daily travels, get to. I just want to thank all the Democratic Party in Greenwood and the Democratic Party in Newberry and Lawrence for all their support and all the effort they put behind my campaign. Certainly the people that contributed to my campaign and people that just made individual sacrifices and efforts, like Ron Davenport, who was with me the whole time, made sure that I got to where I was supposed to be, helped me put up my signs and helped me take down signs, and seems like taking down signs was worse than putting them up.
You didn't realize how many you had out there, did you?
No, I didn't. I think it was either Wednesday or Thursday after the election. I think I spent 6 hours taking down signs, and I was like, this is nuts. I can't believe that I have this many signs, and I was only doing Newberry County. So it was interesting, but all those people that gave me support, Jan Owens was wonderful to get me down in her community and introduce me to a lot of folks down there. You know, Norval Davis and Lane Gentry over here with the Democratic Party, they were very supportive and kept me informed of everything. You know, some of the other candidates that were running, Felicia Moten and Marsha Kelly Clark, they were there, and they would tell me about events that I could come to there and meet and greet people at their events, and so that was very nice. I think most of my support really came out of Greenwood and Newberry County, as far as actually being aware of events and being knowing where to be and all that stuff. So,
well, of course, they do have a very strong Tea Party over there in Lawrence.
They do. As a matter of fact, I talked to the Tea Party fellow here in Greenwood County, and he said, well, the Greenwood Tea Party, for all intents and purposes, is kind of dead. And I go over to Lawrence to go to the Tea Party meeting. So I was like, okay.
So they did have a strong Tea Party over there. So
yes.
I'm sure that made somewhat of a difference. But what do you attribute the differences in the campaign to why David was successful?
Well, I think the overall thing is honestly the Republican Party being the stronger force here in our four counties. I think that became evident almost in the breakdown. If you look down at the breakdown of the election results, it broke down almost along party lines. If you looked at it that way, with the Republicans and Democrats, and I think most of our counties are about 55-45 Republican to Democrat, and that's about how the election came out.
I think that one of the things that I think I was just talking to Bob Merritt is that really we need to get to a place where we vote for the person.
We do, and I'd like to get in touch with our legislators that are going down to Columbia and suggest that they propose a bill that says, you know, if you're running at the county level, you run without any party affiliation. Now, some of them may like that, and some of them may not like that, but, you know, the offices such as sheriff and clerk of court, coroner, solicitor, there's no reason to have a party affiliation with those, associated with those. And I think this year made it much more apparent than our past years, because we had so many petition candidates. And, of course, Marsha Kelly Clark was a write-in candidate. But when you have those things out there, a lot of times when I went around, a lot of people were saying, hey, let's vote for the person, don't vote for the party. Obviously, that didn't take hold.
It didn't translate to votes, did it, Ben?
Most people did vote along party lines. I think I saw the statistics that it said, you know, 51% of the Democrats voted straight party and 47% of the Republicans voted straight party. So, you know, when you go in and you're doing that, I don't know that you're always looking at the candidate, and I think you're voting for the party as opposed to the candidate. And we've got to get – Bob's right. We've got to get away from that. We've got to if we want our communities to be better, we have to look at the candidate and not the party.
I think so many of these offices, coroner, solicitor,
mm-hmm.
Even clerk of court, should be done on, just like when you apply for a job, the best person suited for the job should get the job. Mm-hmm. And, we had candidates out there, but they didn't all succeed because of the party.
Well, that's true, and I think that's the way it should be. And I think when people vote along party lines, they're kind of abdicating their responsibility as a voter. They're saying, well, I don't want to make the decision. Let the party make the decision for me. And as you said, you know, the sheriff's race, you know, Tony Davis was unopposed here, but in that kind of race, the sheriff, you know, there's no political affiliation. He doesn't go out and say, he doesn't say, I'm going to go out and arrest you because you're a Democrat, or I'm going to arrest you because you're a Republican.
If that happens, we should all leave town.
The sheriff arrests people that break the law, regardless of party.
And the solicitor should prosecute people based on those that break the law.
Exactly. You know, I don't have any.
And the coroner certainly shouldn't be making decisions based on your party affiliation and your tip.
Exactly. You know, that's it's kind of silly that we have the party affiliation all the way down to the county level, and it, you know, it goes way back. And South Carolina is still a good old boy state, for all intents and purposes. Not, you know, some of our areas are not quite as good old boy as other areas, but it really is like that, and it's just unfortunate that a lot of people, like I say, you know, almost 50% in both parties. Just kind of abdicated their responsibility and didn't investigate a little more.
Absolutely, I agree with you. So what's what do you do now, Ben?
Well, I go back to the office. You know, I've got my my office down in Newberry. We're still running that, you know, full board. And my law partner Mindy Zimmerman, she said,
"Hallelujah, you're not leaving."
I think, you know, sometimes she said it'd be great if you leave because my income goes up. And as a partner, I'm not paying you half the income anymore, or your share of the income. But her comment was, well, you know, the election's over. It's time to go back to work, bud, and there's your desk. Let's go. And so I think she had me in court the next day. And certainly on the Thursday.
You didn't even get a break for a day?
No. She, my law partner's pretty hard charging. She didn't take time for breaks. Matter of fact, she's down in Horry County in a class for this week, and I was making a comment to one of our associates. I said, this is nuts. She either emails or calls us about every 30 minutes to see if everything's going okay, make sure we're keeping the work going. And, you know, but that's where I go back to, you know, and I enjoy my private practice over in Newberry. And I think a lot of people were more upset than I was when I lost. And, you know, and I was like, listen, you know, when I went into this, I knew I could win. I knew I could lose. And I knew if I lost it, had to go back to work. And yesterday I was in the Abbeville courtroom doing pleas for most of the day. So it doesn't stop. I just keep going.
The world goes on.
That's right. Exactly.
The world goes on.
Exactly, you know.
Well, you know, Ben, I know that you were looking forward to being the solicitor in this area, but it didn't work out this time. But, you know, there's always another round.
Well, I tell you, after this experience, I'm not real sure that I want to jump back in there a second time. It's certainly an eye-opening experience. While you meet some wonderful people, you also meet some people that you're not so sure about, that you have to question.
Right.
Because you say, you know, here I thought they were here, and I'm finding out, well, they're not really where I thought they were. And that's kind of disheartening to find that folks aren't always true to their word, so to speak. And you find out where people's loyalties are, that's for sure, when you're doing this. Because I can tell you, if everyone voted for me that told me they voted for me, then there wouldn't be any question. I don't think I've run into but one person who said they did not vote for me. And so, you know, it's interesting.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. It's like Philadelphia. They were talking about President Obama got 100% of the vote. Mm-hmm. Now, how does that happen?
Well, you know, I don't think that's possible.
I don't think that's possible either.
You know, you go on, you move on. But, you know, David's got a big challenge ahead of him, and we've got to support him in his efforts. And, you know, because we've just got to make our community safer, and we've got to make sure that it's running better. And David's inheriting some big dockets, and he's got a big challenge ahead, and I think he will do his best to meet that challenge. And if he does, great. You won't see me again. Maybe I'll run for something else, you know, some other office down the road. But right now, I'm quite happy what I'm doing in my law practice. And
there's nothing like getting back to what you know, is
right? Yeah, I'm sure my law partner's happy to have me back doing some of the work in the office, as opposed to her doing everything, and her and the associates doing everything. So,
all right. Well, anybody else you'd like to thank out there? And we're going to wrap this up. Anybody else there?
Well, you know, obviously I've got to thank my wife for just putting up with this, and my children for putting up with this, and just the entire community for opening their arms and really being a wonderful community to be in, like I know that it was. You know, all those people that supported me, you know, either through words of encouragement or financially or just helped me to get to different places where I need to be. I just thank all of them. Like I say, there's too many people to mention by name, but it was fun. Of course, it's been fun to meet you and be on your program.
Absolutely. We'll have to have you back when you got a good case to talk about. Hey, I'm Ann Eller here with Ben Seeley from down there in Newberry. Thanks so much for stopping by, Ben.
It's been great, great.
All right. Thank you so much. That's going to do it for us. Right now, the news is up right here on WCRS, South Carolina News, and that's going to wrap it up for us. So don't forget about our really big, really special celebration we're going to have for 33 years in Sharp Facets and 3 years for Gracie, and we're raising funds for the Veterans Center for a new sound system. So come by and see us Thursday, Friday, main event on Saturday. I'll be back in the morning. Good night, everybody.